I see Adam shake his head. I looked over the Plutarch's Charter of Pronouncements, he tells me. It stresses tolerance towards all. It's at the very top of their list. Yes, I say, grinning at my charge in the rearview mirror. But since the document does not mention any of the all who will be tolerated by name, legally, it is non-binding and of no significance whatever. That's about as hypocritical as anyone can get, Adam tells me, especially since they do not tire of proclaiming their virtue from the rooftops. Hypocrisy was not a concept with which I was familiar before descending to Earth, Adam. I had to learn this uniquely human characteristic. You humans have inherited the propensity from your dissembling simian forebears. As Rochefoucauld remarked, Adam says, hypocrisy is the homage vice pays to virtue. Grinning at him, I head back north, flying over the ruined neighborhoods of Brooklyn and Queens. If not for the moonlight and the glow of fires and bonfires, nothing below could be distinguished from post-bellum piles of rubble. Adam continues to look out the window, pensively biting his lower lip. I remain quiet for a time. What did those two mopes want who accosted you after your speech? I ask him. He grins. They are promoters, impresarios, I guess. One of them owns the private Basso Loco Club, so restricted that absolutely no one is permitted entry. They want to engage me for what they called a series of such entertainments for the well-established. No, Adam, you are not a novelty act. You are my protege, and so long as Ivor is under my protective wing, so to speak, I have first say about what you do or do not do. End of discussion. He looks at me to see whether I am serious. I am indeed. Don't worry, Unc. I told him I already had representation, and that I was under exclusive contract for the foreseeable future. Good. See that you do not forget your obligations to me. I continue north. Metty dips towards the Bronx, heading for the High Bridge, the 19th-century aqueduct connecting the mainland with Adam's neighborhood in northern Manhattan. Neighborhood is a misnomer, since Adam and Ivor no longer have any neighbors who do not live underground and whom no one ever sees. Pulling up beside the rooftop of Adam's building, I let him out onto the parapet. He steps down into their garden. I shall let you know of our next engagement, Adam. You did wonderfully tonight. Do not feel dejected by your mistreatment. It is apparent, to me leastwise, that you are far more intelligent and engaging than the whole lot of top lofties put together with duct tape. He leans toward me and smiles. Thanks, Uncle Luke. It feels good to be recognized for who I am. Indeed, I do recognize you, young man. Indeed, I do. I drive away from the roof, honking the horn twice. It is a pleasant night for a drive, with the heat on, of course. I want to think, with no demons or minions disturbing my quiet, with their endless questions and quibbles and squabbles. I have no illusions about Adam's interest in delivering future lectures. As physicist Richard Feynman remarked, the first principle is that you must not fool yourself, and you are the easiest person to fool. I guess that is my quotation of the evening. I know full well that if Ivor's health and well-being were not at stake, I could not persuade my protege to speak at another top lofty function for all the money in the world.